Fuzzy Bread.
Fuzzy Bread.
Hi, this is Act 3 again. Have you ever played Final Fantasy X? That game confuses me. They say, you can defeat sin! But they don't mention Jesus anywhere. I think that's strange. Well, if you know how to play Rocket Ball, and you can explain it in plain English, please email me at akktri@yahoo.com. Well, on to the Bible study. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. The Transfiguration of Jesus. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they wakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. In this passage, we see that Peter seems to want to stay up on that mountain forever with Moses and Elijah. But he doesn't get to do that. Instead, Jesus leads him back down the mountain where there's a great load of work to do. You know, the real significance of this passage didn't really strike me until now. I've been spending a great deal of my life trying to stay up on that mountain. I used to think that it would be a great idea to live in a monastery. I could be isolated from the outside world. I could spend all my time doing creative things in praise of God, and I could provide for my needs by farming or fishing or any of the other things that one can do in a small commune type situation, and I wouldn't have to deal with crime or unbelievers, or the stressful situations of everyday life and modern society. I used to have a pretty cushy job that was pretty monastic in itself. I really didn't have to talk to anyone, for the most part. I could just sit and watch the machines run. It was all very comforting and isolating. And I can kind of call that a mountaintop experience because I often thought about religion while I was working there. Now, When my grandma got really old, she couldn't take care of herself anymore, so we moved her into an assisted living center. Because of this, I was allowed to stay in her house, and I have stayed there for roughly a year. During this time, I have meditated quite a bit on scripture. This is also sort of a mountaintop experience. I was isolated from the outside world as I stayed at this house. I didn't have to deal with people that much. But I lost the job. They downsized. And because of this, I had to come down from my mountaintop experience and get involved with jobs that weren't as good. But I feel that the Lord has led me to talk to these people. I have met many people at bad jobs who don't know Jesus or are otherwise lost. I don't know if I've been the best witness, but I have prayed for these people, and I wouldn't even know about them had I kept that nice little job that I had. My aunt's about to sell my grandma's house. My grandma died, and my aunt wants to get rid of the house. This means that I'll have to deal with living in close quarters with my parents again, and later on, I will have to deal with the people in whatever apartment complex I'm going to find. In John 17, verses 15 and 16, Jesus prays about us, and he says, I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we see here that we are in the world, but not of the world. I don't particularly like it, but God wants me to be in the world. I remember being at church camp one time, and one of the counselors said, Hey, wait you guys, don't go on those buses. We're going to call your parents and tell them that you're not going home. Let's just stay here at this camp forever. It seemed like a lot of campers were happy about that. But then this other counselor stood up and said, You'd like that, wouldn't you? And when they agreed, he said, Well, too bad! If we did that, you wouldn't want to go to heaven! That statement always resonated with me. It told me that we eventually had to come down from our mountaintop experience and face a sinful world. For years, I have been occupying myself with every possible thing I could think of to help me escape from this reality. But God wants me to confront reality. The meaning of a mountaintop experience is not an escape. If you attempt to read the Bible for escapism, it will not take long for you to realize how seriously you are mistaken. Instead of providing a comforting womb for you to retreat into, it gives you a swift kick in the pants. Instead of providing isolation, it pushes us into community involvement. Certain Bible groups don't seem to have figured this out yet. I used to belong to a group called the University Bible Fellowship. Every year, this group had some sort of district convention, and it really irritated me because we never went outside. With my church youth group, we used to actually travel through the cities that we'd have the convention in. We actually talked to the people of the towns and told them about Jesus. But with the UBF, we just stayed in little buildings and wrote Bible testimonies for the whole time. Thanks to them, I don't even know what Michigan is like, even though I went there.